It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. So with the school year underway, we check in with State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underley. Out on the campaign trail, Governor Tony Evers has proposed a $2 billion education funding package boost, dipping into the state's massive surplus at a Superior Elementary School Thursday.
The state has an obligation around helping schools fund their operations, and frankly, we've been, you know, before I became governor, it was 8 years of cuts.
Courtesy KDLH-TV, join in on school funding issues in your district, 800-642-1234. Superintendent Jill Underley, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thank you so much, Kate. I'm excited to be here.
Good morning. So you've had, you know, these visits, Superior, Rhinelander, Green Bay, Milwaukee. What are you hearing and learning as you go to these schools?
Well, first off, good morning. And it was certainly one of those visits. I mean, the first days of school are always very exciting. So when we go out and we see the kids and we visit, I'm hearing from the teachers that they're grateful for our support and advocacy from the Department of Public Instruction around issues such as mental health aid, you know, helping with teacher shortages, certainly looking at programming for the kids, you know, after school programming, especially as they come out of the pandemic. There's just a lot of needs.
There's a lot of needs. And we're going to get to the teacher shortages and mental health in a moment. But I'm wondering, is there a difference between visiting a school in a rural area versus an urban area? Is it a different feel of challenges?
You know, I don't think so, honestly. I think on the surface, I would say maybe before I had been in this job that possibly, but the needs that we have in our public schools in Wisconsin seem to transcend urban, rural, suburban. The excitement is there. I mean, the kids are excited to be back. Teachers and administrators and staff are hoping for a normal year. So I think that's one of the things that's really pleasant about it is that kids are kids and staff are staff. Throughout Wisconsin, we all have the same outlook and attitude.
How do these visits inform what you do in coming months and what you ask of Republican lawmakers?
So we've been putting together a budget for pretty much the past year. We will, provide our full budget to the governor on September 15th.
Mm-hmm,
and
Thursday.
This Thursday. So certainly what we are, when we go out to the schools and we talk to people, we talk to school boards, we talk with administrators, teachers, custodians, parents. And what they're all saying is the same, is that we need to make sure that we are shoring up our foundation, public schools, to ensure that our kids in this generation are prepared. Because they're the next leaders, they're the next, the citizens of Wisconsin in our future. So certainly, spendable revenue, that's important, especially when you look at the prices of everything having gone up, making sure that we have qualified adults in front of our kids and, staff running the building. There's just a lot. And coming out of the pandemic, we've noticed that not everybody was impacted the same. You know, some people did better than others, especially among our kids. And so we really need to address some mental health, especially anxiety among our youth. Like I said, there's just a lot of needs, and we're hearing that when we go out.
Governor Evers had told agency heads and secretaries in June to exercise caution going forward in our current economic environment. As these budget requests are due Thursday, is this in this, political and economic environment, what are specifically your budget priorities?
So, yes, we are being very cautious about what we're proposing. And so we're ensuring that what we're doing is really addressing the needs that we see. We need to increase special education reimbursement. And I guess I need to put this out there. K-12 public education, it's for everybody. We need a strong, well-funded, high-quality public education in the state. It benefits our children, our families with kids in schools, our community members. It's literally everybody. And DPI being independent and nonpartisan, we need to make sure that that's our focus. And so special education reimbursement right now, for the services like speech and language, among other things, with students with additional learning needs, the reimbursement rate is only 29%. And so we need to make sure that we're reimbursing that higher because our school districts need that funding. We have to require these services, and so they need to get reimbursed. We would love to put more money into mental health, making sure that every school has a full-time counselor, that can help with addressing the needs, especially as we come out of this pandemic. We need to address the staff shortages. And it's not just teachers, it's also administrators, but it's also custodians and food service workers and bus drivers. We have a priority in there for literacy and making sure that all students are reading at the grade level, before they leave elementary school and head on to secondary. We are looking at improving nutrition access. So during the pandemic, the U.S. Department of Education and the U.S. Department of Agriculture worked together to provide meals, free meals for breakfast and lunch for all students. And we noticed that it was widely popular. And we need to look at that because we need to make sure that every child is ready to learn and has a full stomach to do so.
I'm going to reintroduce you here for a moment, talking about public education in our state with State Superintendent Jill Underle. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Your district needs, your school needs at the start of a school year. Before we move on, Superintendent, just one of the things that you mentioned there on the list, a full-time counselor at every school. Give us some context here. How close are we now to having a full-time counselor at every school?
It's really difficult to just let you know over the air because based on school size, I mean, some school districts may have a part-time counselor in an elementary and then a part-time in another elementary to make a full-time counselor. But what we've noticed is that we have reached a crisis level with our youth mental health. I mean, we have issues with access to mental health, sometimes in the rural areas, but as well as in the urban areas as well. Waiting lists are very long for outside services. And so schools are ideally situated to help bridge this gap. So what this would look like is that it would be an additional investment of roughly $250 million over the biennium that would support school-related mental health costs. And schools need access to that consistent funding in order to support their communities because it would fund at least one staff member in the district that, we could certainly focus on this with, it's certainly predictable then and sustainable, and it's exactly what our schools need.
Let's look at local property taxes for a moment, as state law limits how much a school district can raise property taxes in a given year. And your budget plan includes $800 million investment in state funds that you and Governor Evers say is meant to, quote, hold the line on local property taxes. Why attempt to keep property taxes where they are?
Well, and Governor Evers is correct in this. What it would do is if we put this $800 million from the state into our local school districts, it prevents our school districts then from having to raise their local property taxes. Just very generally speaking, the way that we fund our schools in Wisconsin is through an equalized aid formula. And so a portion of the property tax that we pay from our own homes goes to fund our local school, and then the state equalizes that with their aid. So if we are to put more money into the state formula, that'll actually hold property taxes stable on the local end. But I have to just, your listeners probably know this. I mean, it seems as though every few years, school districts in your area are going to a referendum. Because those property limits, those tax limits were put in 1993, and it's going to be 30 years since the state has done anything to really address the fact that school districts are really limited on how much money they can raise because of those revenue limits. And 30 years later, we have so many different needs, things that exist now that didn't exist back then. And our school districts are strapped, and so they really rely on the state aid. But if the state aid doesn't come through, then they have to go to referendum.
Jill Underley with us, State Superintendent of Public Instruction, as we dig into critical issues at the start of the school year. Join in on what they look like where you are. Teacher staffing, class size, parent communication, COVID policies, busing, referendums, school budgets, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We focus on critical education needs in our state with the Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underley, here. Just wrapped up a back-to-school tour of different K-12 schools alongside the governor. Join in on needs in your district, what you want the state education chief to know about your school in a real critical budget planning phase, 800-642-1234. Superintendent of Public Instruction Jill Underley stays with us. Let's go to Jennifer in Eau Claire with a question. Jennifer, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Good morning. Dr. Underley briefly mentioned wanting children to leave elementary school being able to read. And for the past about 20 years, most Wisconsin schools have been using a balanced literacy approach. And during that time, we have not seen reading scores really take off. And so I am kind of curious, you know, about 30% of our children can read no matter what kind of instruction they get. But we know all children can learn with a very explicit instruction approach. So I want to know what Dr. Underley is doing to make sure it's equitable that all children learn to read and get that explicit instruction that is structured.
Jennifer, thank you for that. Superintendent.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jennifer, that's a great question. You know, certainly, as you mentioned, it's complex, right? Learning to read, we've been taking it with the balanced literacy approach. And to be honest, you know, included in that balanced literacy approach is phonics and explicit instruction, the science of reading, among other ways too. And so what we would like to do at the state is make sure that all elementary school teachers, and personally, I think all teachers should know how to teach reading, regardless of their grade level or subject area. But we want to make sure at the state that we are providing direct professional development to our teachers through like our regional, we have regional CESA networks, which are educational service agencies. We want to make sure that our teachers are getting that professional development so that they can provide this type of instruction to all students. And, you know, Wisconsin teachers are working hard to support students in becoming proficient readers. And so they need our support and to have those resources and the coaching and additional training to do that important work.
National data came out in recent days. I'm sure you saw that reading scores for elementary school dropped to their lowest levels since 1990 during the first 2 years of the pandemic. Math scores dropped for the first time in the history of a national test dating back to the 70s. When you look at these national test results, what's your strategy to get Wisconsin students back on track?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have no doubt that Wisconsin students will get back on track. I mean, we know that the COVID pandemic certainly, I mean, it's impacted academic learning, just as we know is it impacted mental health and emotional well-being of our children, and honestly, all of us too. And this national data that came out is national. It'll be really interesting for us in Wisconsin to see Wisconsin's results. And, you know, we're going to be releasing our local data on standardized testing results this fall. And certainly we'll add that data alongside other information regarding student performance as we, you know, we seek to gain an accurate picture of Wisconsin's situation. But I have no doubt, you know, there's always going to be, you know, the pandemic, I mean, this is a once in a century kind of situation, and kids learned, you know, I have no doubt that we will improve and we'll bounce back from that. We have to take the situation though as what it was. It was a once in a century kind of thing. And like I said, everybody was impacted differently. And so as we come out of that, like I said, with mental health, additional teacher training, getting more adults in our schools who are, you know, who can focus on these kinds of things is really important to us.
I want to turn to the teacher shortage for a moment. April from Prairie du Sac called, couldn't stay with us, and wants to know how Wisconsin is addressing the national shortage of speech pathologists. And last month, Susan Minter with the Wisconsin Association of School Personnel told us that there are staffing shortages in essentially every corner of the state school districts.
Pretty much all school districts are struggling with some type of staffing, whether it be teachers, whether it be support staff. It's pretty much widespread across the state.
What needs to be done to address these shortages?
Yeah, that's accurate. And the thing is, to go to your caller's question, I thank her for that, because the different areas like speech and language pathology, school psychologists, these are areas of special education. They're areas of pupil services. And they have a higher demand, right? There's certainly that shortage is much more acute. But as Ms. Minter also mentioned, I mean, that shortage is true no matter what area of the state you are and subject area. And so what we need to do is we need to implement both short and long-term solutions. Certainly, as you know, has been proposed in the past, changing the law to allow teachers who have retired to come back into the profession. You know, there's areas that we can look at that. I think that's a great short-term solution. It would provide some flexibility to districts to fill current open positions, for example, with some experienced staff. But we are also at the agency at the department looking at how we can help with this. And so partnering with different organizations, including our public colleges, the UW system, we're looking at an additional proposal that will relate to the teacher pipeline. And more details will come out on that on Thursday. But it's really a way to help school districts directly nurture the staff that they have who want to become teachers. I don't know about your listeners, but, you know, my kids, when they're in school, sometimes the adults that I would find who connected most with the kids weren't actually the teacher that they had as their homeroom teacher or whatever. They were support staff. And a lot of times, you know, those individuals want to become teachers. And so how can we help them, you know, and create, you know, these programs that'll help with the staffing shortage?
Talking with the superintendent of public instruction, Jill Underly, with us. Just a bit of a follow-up there. The $90 million in federal COVID aid meant to help retain staff. What will that do?
Yeah, so I guess, you know, where that came from is when we think about the fact that our schools did not get any increase in spendable revenue from this last biennium budget. So that's the 2021 to 2023. And so this aid can go directly to the districts. It's, you know, a per pupil amount that they can use, you know, to provide professional development, or maybe it's to provide, you know, assistance in salaries. You know, certainly the larger amounts could probably help hire somebody. You know, and so that's really where it's at, is that we need to make sure that our school districts have access to revenue so that they can pay staff what they're worth and pay them, you know, especially when you look at what the starting salary is for teachers in Wisconsin. We really need to focus on that. We need to focus on the respect for the profession as well, to get more people to, you know, want to become teachers, and so that we can ensure that Wisconsin public schools will stay strong for the next generation.
In our last moments left, I want to just ask you about Tim Michaels, who's challenging Governor Evers in November for the governorship, said in July that the problem is we're already throwing so much money at education. Money has been the fix for decades, just more and more money, and it's not working. Does he have a point?
I would argue that, you know, we haven't been throwing money at our public schools. What we do is it's the largest expense in the state, mm-hmm. you know, as it should be. Public education is for everybody. It's nonpartisan. It's the rural school in the, you know, the communities in our, throughout Wisconsin, as well as our urban schools. And we have an obligation in the state, to provide a K-12 education. It's in our state constitution. And yes, of course, as the years go on, it costs money. It costs money to run these things. It costs money to pay people to work in our schools, to run our buses, to run our food service programs. We can't expect that costs would go down and that inequality would somehow increase.
Superintendent Underly, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome. I'm happy to talk anytime. There's always so much to talk about.
Indeed. Jill Underly is State Superintendent of Public Instruction. And ahead on the State Capitol Report, the state agency that oversees the issuing of professional licenses is facing tough questions about its turnaround time. Join in on the Department of Safety and Professional Services, 800-642-1234. News update is next on the Ideas Network.